Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be here this morning with all of you, but even more wonderful to be here with our God. And the thing is that what I really want to drive home today is the idea of this, is that the reason that we're able to be here, the reason that we're able to be welcome in the presence of God, the reason that we even have it in our hearts to love God and to seek after him is because God came to us first. We're heading into Christmas season, and the whole Christmas season is about this incarnation of Jesus. And the incarnation means that God left where he was and came into our world. And what God did when he came into our world is to rescue us, redeem us, and save us. And so as we gather this morning, let us remember the day that we were baptized and brought into his kingdom because he came to us in that baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to be here, possible for us to believe in you, to worship you, to love you, Lord, to receive from you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately need. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to work among us, Lord, as you have promised to do, to work through the Word of God that we speak, that we sing, that we hear today, so that we can be convicted, so that our hearts, Lord, can be turned, so that we can confess the sins that we have committed, Lord, receive forgiveness from you, and then have the opportunity to return praise and glory to you, the God who is amazing above all and loves us. Lord, I pray that you would be here for us today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins. God came to us. He earned this forgiveness for us. And now he says, I want you to come and just speak the truth, which is what confess, you know, it's that I believe. And we're going to talk about what we believe about ourselves. And then we're going to talk about what God's done for us. So let's first confess. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins, have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now that we have received this incredible forgiveness that Jesus came to give us, let's return praise to the God who has stepped into our world.
I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed. We fall. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and it's my pleasure and privilege to share the first scripture reading with you. From the Apostle Paul's second letter to Thessalonica, the second chapter, verses 13 to 17. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word.
Thank you, Brian. Gospel for this Sunday is Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 40. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless, the second, and then the third married her in the same way, and in the same way, seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, and since they are children of the resurrection, but in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Some of the teachers of the law responded, well said, teacher, and no one dared to ask him any more questions. And now it is time for the children's message, and so let's see here. Today my dad has the children's message, right? There he is. Very good. Pastor Bill has the children's message for today, and so kids, come on down at this time.
Okay, now, you just heard the lesson that was read, and did you notice there was a bad guys, right? There were some bad guys who were trying to make Jesus look dumb. They're going to ask him some questions, really foolish questions, to try to make Jesus look. Is that being good? No, that's not being good at all, is it? Okay, you know, the problem is, people sometimes, they watch the bad guys and try to follow the bad guys instead of following Jesus. And it's important for us to follow Jesus in everything we do. So we're going to have a little game here, and I'm going to ask Oscar to be my helper, okay? We're going to play follow the leader. I'm going to pretend to be Jesus, and he's going to pretend to be the bad guy. Now, he's just going to pretend, because really Oscar's a good guy, right? Because he knows Jesus. But we're just going to pretend that he's a bad guy, okay? So let's get in line to play follow the leader. Oscar, you get in the middle. Here you go, just get in line. Doing good. Doing good. Okay. Now, follow the leader. Is it easy to follow the leader?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Oscar, you go your own way. You go a different way. Wow! You guys did it right. You know what? I was kind of hoping you'd follow Oscar. But you did it right. Okay, sit down. That's the way we need to be all the time. Yeah, disappointment, wasn't it, Oscar? Okay. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, it's easy for us to follow him. But how can we follow Jesus? You know where we find Jesus? In the Bible. You're right. Now, some of you can't read. So you depend on mom and dad, Sunday school teachers, pastors, and other Christians to tell you what the Bible says about Jesus so that you can see Jesus. And it's important that we see him, keep our eyes on him, so that we can follow him. We follow him by obeying him. We follow him by doing what he does, right? So there's two ways we can follow Jesus and not follow the bad guys. You know, there's a lot of bad guys out there who are going to lie to you and try to make you think that Jesus is dumb. But he's not. He's the smartest guy that ever lived in the whole wide world. And he loves you. He took away your sins. And that is the most important thing we need to know about Jesus, is that he loves you no matter what. Let's pray. Fold your hands. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you, God, for loving us and giving us the Holy Bible, where we can see you and follow you wherever you lead us. Keep us always following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And now I think it's time for following the cross. And I see it way back there.
All right, everybody, 4-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And looks like Joni has the message for you guys today. And the rest of us, we're going to be opening up God's word right here and now. So let's do that. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us to this place today, for coming into our lives, Lord, and changing us and making us the people that love you and seek after you, Lord, because of all that you have done for us by redeeming us, forgiving our sins, converting us, making us into something we weren't before. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we learn today. Open up our minds and help us remember. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Sadducees. So what do you know about these guys? The Bible tells us really quick right here, it says, who say there is no resurrection. So we know one thing about Sadducees, right? But let me tell you a little bit more about these guys. They don't believe in the resurrection. And that is like the flashpoint between them and the Pharisees. You know, in the New Testament, you're reading along and you're hearing about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And sometimes they're working together, but only when they have a common enemy. Most of the time, they don't like each other. And the Sadducees, they are a group of Jewish people that they claim that they are descendants of Zadok the priest, who was the high priest during King David's reign. Now, were they actually? We don't really know. A lot of times these little splinter groups like to cling on to some historical figure to try to, you know, bolster their claims to truth and stuff a little bit. But that's where the word Sadducee comes from, is like a Zadokite. I don't know how those connect, but somehow they do. But the thing is that they are people who are, they are a lot like theological liberals today. They believed in the form of the Jewish faith. They believe in the sacrificial system. They believe in the laws that were given in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. But they don't get into the really nitty-gritty spiritual stuff, like, you know, eternal life and life after death and all of those things. And they're also much more into the zeitgeist, the spirit of the day, whatever philosophies are popular out in the world. And so the Pharisees were very firm, you know, Rome is bad because they're trying to, you know, govern us and make us not live as God's people as much. The Sadducees, they were much more like, let's just get along with everybody and we can learn from everybody and, you know, what's truth and, you know, those kinds of things more. And so they limited their Old Testament Bible to the first five books of the law. That was what they were willing to accept. And so these are the people that came up to try to trip up Jesus. They weren't alone in this because right before this and right after this, it's the Pharisees who are coming to try to trip up Jesus. But this is the Sadducees' crack at this, and they come up with a little puzzle for Jesus, right? A little trap. The Pharisees did this just before with the whole taxes. Do you pay taxes to Caesar? Remember that, Caesar, that one? And Jesus, you know, dealt with that little problem. Well, now this is the Pharisee, this is the Sadducees one. And they basically said, well, since they don't believe in the resurrection, let's make a puzzle that's going to be kind of be tricky with the resurrection. And we're going to have, do you guys know about this, the wet marriage tradition in the Old Testament? It's basically the idea is that the line, the ongoing line from a person is just so important. And so if a brother dies without having children, that his brother would marry the widow and have a child for his brother. And legally, it would be his brother's child, so they would have somebody to carry on the name and carry on the family and inherit that stuff. And it was just, that's just how they did it. Well, the Sadducees decided to, let's make this really extreme. Let's have seven brothers. And all the brothers are going to marry the same lady one at a time, not at the same time. And the Sadducees are like going, fine, puzzle me this. Which one is she married to in heaven? Well, Jesus kind of like sidesteps that whole thing because it's kind of silly because in heaven he basically explains, when we marry you, think about this. You know, when we're in church and we marry you and we say, We make our vows until death do we part, right? That's the whole thing, right? Well, so then who's married in heaven? Well, the answer is nobody. You know, I always wondered when weddings expire, you know, because you get your license. Every license expires, right? Well, I guess it expires at death. That's when it expires because that now at that point, the God who created marriage says this is the end of it. So at that point, Jesus basically said, your whole thing is silly. But Jesus really cared about these Sadducees. And he cared about these Sadducees on several levels. I mean, the first level is that he came to earth to save these guys, right? I mean, we know that, right? He came to earth to save everybody, but specifically these guys as well. He came to earth to teach these guys. And when he taught them from his word. I mean, he went around preaching, and so often he was preaching from the Old Testament because that was the revealed word of God up until that point. And the people, it was what God was using to teach the truth that Jesus came to teach. And so now we got this group of Sadducees who are only interested in the first five books of the law. And Jesus knew this. And Jesus, in his grace, not only did he come into this world to teach, not only did he come to this place to teach, but he knew the person that he was speaking to. He knew what their belief was. And he was trying to persuade them using what they were willing to accept. Isn't that an interesting thing? I mean, look at how far God was willing to go just to try to persuade this group of troublemakers, right? Came from heaven, took on a ministry, taught, got to this point, and now he is honing the message specifically for these people. Because the example that he gave did not come like from King David when his son died and he was grieving and while his son was alive. And as soon as his son died, he stopped grieving. And they said, well, why do you stop grieving now? And he goes, because at this point, my son will not come to me, but I will go to him, right? And the idea is, well, eternal life. There it is. You know, there's life after death. But why didn't Jesus use that? Because these guys weren't going to accept that. That wasn't what they would accept as Bible. So where did Jesus go? He went back to Moses. He went back into the book of Exodus, a book that these people would actually accept and understand, a book that, and he used a passage from that book to prove the truth that there is such thing as eternal life. And he did it by saying, you know, Moses, when God introduced himself to Moses. Okay, now if you're going to quote the Pentateuch, quoting God speaking in the Pentateuch, pretty strong, right? Pretty good way to prove things, right? And when God introduced himself to Moses, he says, I was the God of Abraham. No, it's not what he said. He said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Okay, what do we know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob while Moses was alive? They were not. You know, they had died a long time ago, hundreds of years earlier. And so how can God introduce himself saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are dead and gone and they no longer exist? And Jesus says, is God the God of the dead? He says, no, he is the God of the living. And so if God introduced himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then it proves that there is life after death. Has to be. Because God, and then he says this, he says, in Christ, in God, all are alive. Well, answer me this, does God have a relationship with us? Yeah. Once we die, does God still have a relationship with us? Yeah, we just get closer, you know? It's just the way, we simply are progressing into a place where we're now going to be even in a better and closer and more, in a perfect relationship with God. And so here's what Jesus did. Jesus, in the context of the ministry to all humanity, in the context of him imparting truth to people, and in the context of a bunch of troublemakers coming up to him and just trying to trip him up, Jesus, out of love for the people who were talking to him at the moment, did Jesus roll his eyes and dismiss these guys? He was actively interested in them in the moment, and he appealed to an argument that would appeal to them with an argument that would actually be persuasive to them. So how much is Jesus getting involved in our lives? Just a bit, yeah? I mean, here's the thing, is that Jesus isn't doing anything different with us than he did with these Sadducees. You know, the God who came into the world to save all mankind, he didn't keep it that general. He made it much more specific, right? I mean, he gave us Dr. Martin Luther, who like got theology cleaned up so that us German Lutherans can be like theologically correct. Isn't that much more specific than just all of mankind? And did he leave it there? No. He gave us the LCMS and the leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod so that we would have a denomination to agree with and that would be able to support the ministry of our congregation and teach pastors and create curriculum and do all the kinds of things that are necessary for a church body. Did God do that for us? Yeah. Did he make it more personal than that? Oh, he sent me to be the pastor of a church, right? And so now I get to speak God's word in front of you. And so you as a body of believers can be connected to Jesus through this word of God. Is that as focused as God's word or God's action gets? No, there was a day. There was a day when you were singled out. You were brought to the font. You were brought to the baptismal font. You, individually, Jesus came to you. And he continues to come to you. That word, that Holy Spirit that we received when we were baptized, when we were given faith, when we were adopted into the family of God, that Holy Spirit continues to work in our hearts and minds. That when we read this Bible, this book written to all Christians for all time, I mean, this book that's got this very, very broad address, because the Spirit is in us, we receive messages just for you. Specifically for you. I mean, I want you to think for a minute exactly how active, how focused God's love for you is. That on a day he made you his child, when you come forward to receive communion, yes, you are here with the community of saints, but you are also here receiving the body and blood of the Lord for you. That when I give the forgiveness of sins to all of you, you're all, you know, I'm announcing that forgiveness to all of you. And as Luther said us in the catechism, that we should by no wise doubt but firmly believe it, that by this our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. But is it just general? Or is it your sin? God is a God of everybody and a God of you. A God who is actively and interested in your life. When he comes, this incarnational God, this God that left heaven, comes to you. That's how much he loves you. Now, so what do we do with this? I mean, it's overwhelming, it's amazing, it's staggering. It's the idea that the God of all creation has me on his mind, that he's big enough that he can have an individual personal relationship with each one of us, and that relationship is not just lost in the numbers, but that it's important to him specifically. And so what in the world do we do with that? Well, here's what we do with that. When we are his child, we are to do the same kind of thing, that when God says, I came into your world so that I could speak to you, you singular, that he says this, I want you to love each other the way I loved you. That same way, I want you to love each other the way I loved you, and that means this. We also have the opportunity to take very personally the relationships that we have. That we are able to really, truly get to know the people around us. That we take the time not just to know the masses, but we know the individuals. That we hear what's happening in their lives. That we take the time to actually care and to pray for each other in detail, in nuance, informed, because we are in relationship. And that we would then also know this word of God that God has given us, just like Jesus did, right? And that we would be able to apply that word of God into the lives of the people around us with precision and nuance, led by the Holy Spirit, because he knows them and loves them, but also we know them and love them. that when people come to us with these problems, that we can do the best possible thing that we ever can, and that's point people to God, because we don't have the answers, but God does. We can help them find the answers in Scripture. We can help them by praying with them. We can draw them to the one who is loves them enough to be that involved in their life, and our job is to remind them of that. We have a God who is profoundly involved. Let's just keep reminding each other of that fact. We are not in this world alone. We are not adrift. We are not meaningless or purposeless. We are not without a goal or a point. We are his children. We are his child, one that he loves deeply. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. It's staggering to think about how amazing and great you are, that you are able to do this thing, Lord, that only you could have this many relationships, Lord. Every Christian who ever has existed, every person of yours in the Old Testament, Lord, you know each one by name. By Scripture even tells us, you know how many hairs on their head. Lord, that you are completely aware and completely involved, completely committed, that you love each of us individually, have brought us individually into your family, forgive us individually. Lord, we just glory in that fact. Help us, Lord. Help us to reflect that love into this world as well. Help us to take an active interest in the lives of the people around us, Lord, so that we can reflect your perfect word into their life, Lord. Give us words to say. Send your Spirit to help us. Help us to love, Lord, with the love that we have received from you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, we'd continue our worship today by collecting the offering. And as the offering is collected, I do ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And with that, let us sing praise to our God. It is now time for us to confess our faith, confess what God has told us about himself and what he has done for us. And to do this, we're going to be using the words of the Apostles' Creed. And as we say these words, what I want you to be focused on today is all the places in this where God came to us, where he took the first step, where he reached out from his place of comfort into a place of discomfort so that we could be redeemed and so that we can be his people. Let's confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. It is now time for the Life Talk, and so if Carla Bomarito is going to come forward. Sorry, I just hate it when my brain blanks out like that. All right. Carla Bomarito is going to share with us.
So yes, I am Carla Bomarito, and I am a member of your life team here at St. Mark's. And our life talk is a monthly talk that we do to value all life and to affirm life from conception to the end of life. So our thought for today, the Supreme Court decision a few months ago to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision from 1973 has pushed the abortion issue to the front of the news and the political spectrum. We will have the opportunity to consider this issue with our leaders as we vote again on November 8th, which is Tuesday, and in the future. While many people consider this a political issue, we know that it is a biblical, spiritual, and a moral issue. As God's people, we believe that God is the creator of life and that life begins in the mother's womb at conception, as Psalm 139:13-14 says. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We at St. Mark's want to extend that affirming life message to our community and the world. And we want to encourage women with unplanned pregnancies to choose life and to know that we here will stand with them, support them, and provide for them here at St. Mark's. If you would like to extend that kind of message to our community and world, the Life Team is making available, this is the last Sunday we'll be doing this, at the entranceways and at the Connection Center, stickers for your car window that says Choose Life. It's very easily applied, and here's the thought, that we pray that someone facing a difficult life decision might be behind your car. They will see it, they will read it, and that God would use this message to help them make a decision for life. Thank you.
All right, it is now time for us to pray. And as we head into our prayer time, we want to be praying for Betty McMullen, whose sister passed away. We want to be praying for Mary Borgschulte, who is continuing to struggle with health issues. We want to be praying for Sandra Canada, who is recovering from surgery, and Jennifer Johnson, who is going to be having surgery very soon on her eyes. So let's please stand as we bring our people before him. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. A God that is so much bigger than we can ever imagine, Lord. A God who, in addition to creating everything that exists, holding it all together, has time for each of us. knows us, loves us, is actively involved in each of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to have the peace and the joy of that knowledge, Lord, be with us at all times. Help us to remember. Help us not to fall into the false belief of thinking that we're alone in the world and that we've got to figure everything out, Lord, because it's just not true. We are not alone. Lord, you are with us. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each one of these people, Lord, who are going through difficult times, Lord. Betty McMullen at the death of her sister, pray that you'd give her strength and comfort, Lord. Be her rock. I pray that you'd be with Mary and Sandy and Jennifer, Lord, as they are undergoing their medical issues. I pray that you would bless the doctors, help them to figure out exactly what's going on, Lord, but then also to be able to treat them adequately, Lord, so that they are able to heal. Pray that you, Lord, would be involved in each one of their lives, Lord, so that they will not just be able to heal, Lord, but that they would be comforted with the knowledge of your presence, your love, and your peace in the middle, Lord, of the difficult time. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our congregation as we move forward. Lord, I pray that you would bless our search for an additional pastor. I pray that you would lead us, help us to be able to find the right person, Lord, the person that you would want us to have, and that we would be able to continue as a congregation to serve you, Lord, even more effectively. Lord, I pray that you would be with our country. We're about to head into another election season and all of the division and chaos that brings. I pray that you would help be with us, Lord, and bless us. Help us, Lord, to do this well and Lord, I pray that that you would be actively involved in guiding our country, Lord, so that your people can continue to be served. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those in this world that are involved in mission work, bringing your word into the hearts of more individual people that you love. I pray that you would continue to give them strength and passion and energy, strength, and so that they can continue to do the work that you have called them to do, and so that more people can be served. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to bear your word to the people in our lives. Help us, Lord, to take an active interest in them, to learn how they think, to learn what their fears are, their concerns are, their loves are, so that we are able to speak your word to them effectively. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In your holy name we pray, and we pray the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." I
tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
For God has come to us in so many different ways. And today, just now, he came to us again. Jesus, the God made flesh, the God made man, the God and man, we have received his very body and blood. And in this body and blood, he promises forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. What a great God we serve. How blessed we are. So knowing his promise is good, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And as you go your way today, remember that Jesus came to save us. He left heaven to be with us. He has intervened in our lives in so many ways. And now he wants to ride out with us, you know, speaking through us, acting through us, so that more people can hear of his incredible love and his salvation. So as we go our way today, receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. And now, we heard about how Jesus has come. He's coming again, just in case you didn't know. And so the last song is all about that, looking forward to the day when our Jesus comes again. Please stand as we sing. Have a seat, my friends. Few announcements for today. First of all, veterans, we invite you to join us, and this is the school talking, so I'm just talking for the school right now. We are inviting you to join us for a Veterans Day celebration. We'd like to honor all who have served our country on Friday, November 8th or November 11th at 8:30 a.m. Donuts, coffee, and fruit will be served in the lobby. Then you can enjoy a special chapel service just for you. For all that you did, we salute you. There. Okay. So that's the veteran people. I'll be there too. So let's see here now. Operation Christmas Child boxes are due today. And if you're gasping right now, you have until Wednesday. Okay. That would be me, but okay. Dine to donate. We can eat at Camilla's tomorrow night to raise money for Guatemala. And yeah, we are planning on going there again real soon. But also, while we were down there, we realized that their economy is still way worse than ours. And they need help with even just the bare essentials like food. So we're going to be continuing to raise money in addition to the for our next trip also, so we can send more money down there for so we can distribute food. Family meeting is Sunday, November 20th at 11 in the worship center, so it'll be during the Bible study hour. There won't be any adult Bible class or Sunday school, but childcare will be available, but please contact Lauren Bates so that you can get the childcare that you need. And let's see here. Don't forget about Thanksgiving Eve worship service. And the Christmas schedule is printed in the bulletins. Please invite your friends, family, neighbors, everybody else. All right? With that, Bible study today, adult Bible study, is not going to be in the worship center because they need to start practicing for the Christmas program. So we'll be meeting in room 104 over in the school hallway. And if you have trouble finding that, just look for me. I'll steer you over there. All right. Very good. With that, God's blessings on your week. If anybody wants individual prayer, we have an elder in the prayer chapel, and I will greet you in the back.